إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له صلى الله عليه وعلى آله
Lecture of the series of Tafsir or interpretation of our Tafsir ibn Kathir. And we are tonight with the interpretation of the chapter of An-Nas, the chapter of the people, Surah An-Nas, which is a huge chapter, one of the two refuge chapters, and it's a Madani chapter. And last night we already discussed the reasons for which the two chapters of refuge were revealed, and the story was that one of the disbelievers, his name is Labid ibn Asam, bewitched the Prophet, peace be upon him. So these two chapters were revealed to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and Jibreel, peace be upon him, recited them over the Prophet and used them to cure the Prophet, peace be upon him, from the bewitchment that armed the Prophet, peace be upon him. And as we mentioned last night, is that this bewitchment used some of the traits of the Prophet, and that trace was basically the comb of the Prophet, peace be upon him, had some of his hair. And that magician, what he did is that he tied some knots made of strings that were made of instant of animals, tied some knots, actually some 12 knots or 12 knots over the comb of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and hid it in a well under a rock in the bark of a palm tree beneath a well or in the bottom of a well. And we knew that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said that these three chapters have a lot of privileges, beginning from قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ to the end of the Quran. And these three chapters, basically, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said that nothing like them was ever revealed in the books of Allah. Nothing like them was ever revealed in the Torah, the Bible, the Zabur, or the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say, I seek refuge with the Lord of the people, the King of the people, the God of the people, from the evil of the whisperer who whispers in the breasts of the people, in the chests of the people, of jinn and the people. This beautiful chapter encompassed the three types of tawheed, the three types of monotheism. The monotheism of rububiyyah, the monotheism of uluhiyyah, and the monotheism of characteristics and attributes.
أو اسم الله سبحانه وتعالى الملك يتضمن يعني عددا من يعني من صفات الله سبحانه وتعالى فهو الملك.
So you say, I seek refuge with the Lord of the people, Rabb al-Nas. Here, it is the first type of Tawheed, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. The second verse includes one of the beautiful characteristics of Allah, is that He is the King. And that indicates that He is the one that is in charge of this whole universe and in charge of his whole creation. And then the third verse indicates the uluhiyyah of Allah, the lordness of Allah, is that he is the one that sustains people, he is the one who created people, he is the one who sustains people, and he is the one who prescribes the destiny of people. These three things: he is the one who created people, he is the one who sustains people, and he is the one who prescribes the destiny of people. And when you say, I seek refuge, it means I seek asylum unto Allah, I seek the protection of Allah. I ask Allah to protect me. I resort to Allah, I resort to His Majesty, as the one and the only one who can protect me. So I seek refuge unto Allah, I seek the protection of Allah from the evil of the whisperer who withdraws. Who is that? That is Satan. That is Satan. Actually, it's not Satan in general. That is your Satan. Your Satan. Your Satan, because or as some people call him the companion devil. Every one of us has a companion devil, except for some people that Allah protected against these companion devils. Like, or such as the Prophet, peace be upon him. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said that he's been protected from a companion devil because Allah guided his companion devil, and his companion devil embraced Islam. So, but every one of us has his companion devil. Everyone has his companion devil who decorates for us the sin and misguides us and leads us to obey our instincts and leads us to doubt the truth and obfuscates for us the straight path and decorates for us all the wavy other paths around the straight path, and tries to discourage us from doing good deeds. For example, watch yourself while giving charity. You will receive a lot of misguidance from your own companion devil against doing that. Your companion devil starts whispering to you that, hey, man, you need this charity. You have children, you have a wife, this wife needs to go to the physician, your son needs to go to the physician, and so on and so forth. So he keeps on discouraging you from doing good deeds. All these bunch of things, decorating the wrong paths, decorating the sin, protruding for you or putting emphasis on the importance and the significance of obeying your instincts. Discouraging you from doing good deeds, putting a lot of emphasis on your problems and your pitfalls rather than your potential and good things, and so on and so forth. So he has an aim which is destroying you, and seeing you being dumped into the hellfire just as their parents would think all would be dumped, inshallah, into the hellfire. The Prophet it is confirmed that the Prophet peace be upon him said, there is not a single one of you except that his companion, a devil, has been assigned to him. The companion said, what about you, O Messenger of Allah? The Prophet said, yes, I too have one. However, Allah has helped me against him, and he has accepted Islam. So the devil of the Prophet, peace be upon him, embraced Islam. He embraced Islam. In another narration, Allah protected him, Allah protected the Prophet against the harm of that devil. That's not another narration, actually, that was another interpretation, but the major interpretation or the significantly predominant interpretation is that that devil accepted Islam. And rather than telling the Prophet to do bad deeds, he started telling the Prophet to do good deeds. Other than that, everybody else has a companion devil that tells him or her all bunch of evil things. And he actually is our enemy. And there is no way out for you except to seek refuge unto Allah. So this is what this chapter is saying, is that you should seek refuge unto Allah from that companion devil.
عن أنس رضي الله عنه وهو أيضا في صحيح البخاري في قصة زيارة صفية رضي الله عنها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو معتكف كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في مسجده
the story about Safiya, the mother of the believers, which tells that the Prophet, peace be upon him, was doing i'tikaf in his mosque. And Safiya came to visit the Prophet, peace be upon him. Safiya, his wife, came to visit the Prophet, peace be upon him. And actually, the habit of the Prophet is that during Ramadan, during the i'tikaf in Ramadan, he would establish a little tent in the corner of the mosque, a little tent in the corner of the mosque, just like a curtain that protects him or that covers him. So Safiya, the wife of the Prophet, peace be upon him, came to visit him in his i'tikaf, and he chatted with her for an hour after Isha. An hour does not mean an hour, it means for a while after Isha. And then he wanted to give her a walk, or to walk her to her house. He wanted to walk her to her house.
فلما راى رسول الله
two men from the Ansar saw the Prophet, peace be upon him, and when they saw him with a woman, they started to rush in the walking away from him. So the Prophet said, slow down, this is Safiya bint Huyay, my wife. This is Safiya bint Huyay. Slow down, this is Safiya bint Huyay. So the companions got astonished. Why would he be telling us that? Would he ever doubt? They said, glory to Allah, O Messenger of Allah. He said, peace be upon him, teaching his ummah. He said, verily shaitan runs in the son of Adam like the running of the blood, and verily I feared that he might cast something into your hearts. Or he said, evil. So here there are two sides of the issue. If you see your brother in a compromising situation, you should always give him the benefit of the doubt. If you see your brother in a compromising situation, you should always give him the benefit of the doubt. From the other side, if your brother saw you seeing him in a compromising situation, he should make himself clear to cut any way for the shaitan to cast doubts in your mind, because shaitan will whisper to you, this is your brother, look, he's dating a girl, he's doing this, he's doing that, this guy is married, yet he is involved in dating and lots of evil doing. So before you may cast doubts about your brother, you should give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe that's his sister. Maybe this is his sister that you are doubtful about. And in the meantime, he should cut any way for the shaitan by clarifying for you that this is my sister, or this is my mother, or this is my wife, or whatever, rather than giving you giving shaitan a way around you, or a way into you, into your mind, even shaitan a way into your mind. So basically, the Prophet, peace be upon him, feared that shaitan would whisper to them something wrong about the Prophet, peace be upon him, even though that they would never think something wrong about the Prophet, because the Prophet is protected from the sin. He's not protected against mistakes, we learned that earlier, but he is protected from the sin. So even though he knows that they know that he is protected from the sin, he wanted to teach his ummah a concept. What is the concept? The concept is that shaitan runs in your blood and in my blood. Shaitan runs in your blood and it runs in my blood. So I better not give that shaitan any way into your mind. I should cut that way at its inception. By telling you the truth, so that you don't let shaitan have a sway into you. And in the meantime, you should, as my brother, give me the benefit of the doubt. The Prophet, peace be upon him,
على قلب ابن آدم فإن ذكر خنس. إذا الإنسان ذكر الله سبحانه وتعالى خنس الشيطان، يعني بور بعضه إلى بعضه ورجع وتبع. الشيطان يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الشيطان واضع خطمه، يعني أنفه، على قلب ابن آدم.
الشيطان Tirmidhi says that shaitan puts its nose on the heart of the son of Adam. And as soon as the son of or the child of Adam, and as soon as the child of Adam mentions the name of Allah, shaitan goes away and takes a corner in defeat and in defeat. And if the child of Adam forgets mentioning the name of Allah, shaitan takes over the heart of the child of Adam. Allah gave shaitan that capability. Allah gave shaitan the capability to take over our hearts if it wants. Unfortunately, it runs in your blood and it runs in my blood. It puts its nose, as the Prophet peace be upon him says here, it puts its nose on the heart of the child of Adam. If the child of Adam mentions the name of Allah, shaitan runs away in defeat. If the child of Adam forgets to mention the name of Allah and forgets about Allah, then shaitan takes over his or her heart. That's why it's called al-waswas al-khannas, the one that whispers and the one that withdraws. It withdraws in defeat if you mention the name of Allah, if you remember Allah, and it keeps on whispering to you if you do not remember the name of Allah. And the Prophet peace be upon him guided us to a very important thing, is that you do not curse shaitan, because the moment, as the Prophet peace be upon him said, the moment you curse shaitan, shaitan becomes bigger and bigger and becomes very proud of itself and says that this is because of my work. My work made you very angry to the extent that you curse him. Me, my work made you so angry to the extent that you cursed me. But if you did what the Prophet guided us to do, which is saying, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, I seek refuge unto Allah from shaitan, from the stone shaitan. There's a companion who shared the ride with the Prophet peace be upon him on top of on the back of donkey, and the donkey stumbled. That was one of the companions. Actually, he shared the ride with the Prophet. Basically, he did a ride with the Prophet peace be upon him on top of a donkey. So the donkey stumbled.
قال تعس الشيطان. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تقل تعس الشيطان.
Woo unto شيطان. Woo unto شيطان.
فإنك إذا قلت تعس الشيطان
تعاظم شيطان. Because when you curse شيطان, شيطان becomes bigger. And it says with my strength and power I defeated you. I wrestled you and put you down
or
knocked you down. But if you said Bismillah, on the other hand, if you said Bismillah, it diminishes until it becomes like a fly. It diminishes until it becomes like a fly. So what makes shaitan go away? What makes shaitan becomes very small? Mentioning the name of Allah.
وجاء في حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أحدكم إذا كان في المسجد جاءه الشيطان فأبث به كما يبث الرجل بدابته. أبث به يعني ساقه وزجره
and starts to
يبث الرجل بدابته يعني يقول لها بث.
Refrain him from proceeding into the masjid exactly as one of you refrain its right from going somewhere that he doesn't want her to go. Refraining his camel from going somewhere where he doesn't want her to go. In the old times, people used to say to the camel, this is just to refrain the camel from, or to prevent the camel from proceeding into a direction that he wouldn't want her to proceed into. Same thing the shaitan does. Shaitan, when it sees you going into the masjid, it starts to prevent you from that by whispering to you that you shouldn't go into that direction. It brings lots of issues into your mind. You're busy tonight, you have studying to do, your son is sick, your wife is waiting for you, you've been away from home for a while, it's been a while, you haven't really seen your relatives, and so on and so forth. It brings all sorts of issues into your brain. So the Prophet peace be upon him, if you do not seek refuge unto Allah, if you do not seek refuge unto Allah, Shaitan reins you. Shaitan reins you. You know reining? The reins are those, the rein is some kind of a tool that is used to, first of all, is used around the mouth of the horse, and it extends beyond the neck of the horse, through which the rider can direct the horse. So Shaitan reins you in and starts to direct you in whatever direction it wants. If you do not seek refuge unto Allah, it reins you in and it starts to direct you wherever it wants. And Abu Huraira said to those that he was relating the hadith to, and you know about that. You know about that. So it either corners you or reins you in. And Abu Huraira said, you see both people. You see the corner of person sitting doing nothing. And sitting in the middle of his house, for example, in the corner of his house doing nothing. And he'd rather go to the mosque, but he's basically sitting doing nothing. Abu Huraira said, and you also see the one that was reined in, opening his mouth, exactly like the horse, when the horse opens his mouth, its mouth, while being directed left and right. So what's the cure? What is the solution? Is to say, I seek refuge unto Allah, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. And there are two avenues for Shaitan to defeat you or to whisper to you. The first avenue is instincts, and the second avenue is doubts. The avenue of instincts, you know about it. He keeps on decorating things for you that you love. You love money, steal. You love will, you love authority. Bribe so that you can get authority or more authority. You like certain, you like property, steal so that you can buy more property and so on and so forth. This is from the avenue of this is the avenue of instincts. The avenue of doubts is for those who don't have strong faith. For those who don't have strong faith. If you don't have strong faith, he comes to you and he says, Allah is testing you because he humiliates you. He is humiliating you and you are really not a good slave. If you were a good slave, he would have not humiliated you. He comes to you and he says, your wudu, your ablution is not good. You shouldn't do it anymore. And so on and so forth. So these are the two avenues for Shaitan. There isn't a third one. These are the only two avenues. The avenue of doubt and the avenue of instinct. And the avenue of instinct gets resolved, or you can resolve this issue by doing more worship. By doing more worship. And the avenue of doubts, you can shut it by knowledge. my knowledge.
عن المعتمر بن سليمان عن أبيه قال ذكر لي أن الشيطان أو الوسواس ينفث في قلب الإنسان عند الحزن وعند الفرح.
المؤتمن.
I
think one of the followers, I didn't follow Sheikh, I think he's one of the followers, he said that I heard that shaitan whispers into the heart of the child of Adam in two cases more frequently than the other cases. In the case of joy and in the case of sorrow.
يوسوس للإنسان عند الحزن وعند الفرح.
In the case of joy and in the case of sorrow. In the case of sorrow, usually people are sorry or are sad when they are afflicted by a certain calamity. When they are afflicted by a certain calamity, they usually try to make you sadder and sadder. Shaitan wants to sadden you more. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Shaitan wants to sadden you more. Why? Because it wants to reach a certain destination. What is that destination? To make you object on the destiny of Allah. Object on the destiny of Allah. Why did I lose this money? I didn't deserve to lose this money. And start objecting on the fate of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lose faith and lose hope.
يتسقط ويعترض على قدر الله تعالى وربما يعني حمله على أن يحسد الآخرين أو
and يعني even من whispers to you to envy others and jinx others
إلى يعني الوقوع في يعني منكرات كثيرة وكذلك في باب الفرح يعني عند الفرح الفرح يكون بحصول نعمة حصول نعمة يعني حصلت للإنسان.
And sometimes when he whispers into your heart in the time of happiness, it's to make you proud and to make you feel that you got it on your own and to make you forget thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To make you forget thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make you think that you only got here because of your effort. Only because of your effort. So it basically makes you proud and it basically makes you forget the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فإذا ذكر الله عند الفرح عليك أن تذكر الله سبحانه وتعالى عند الحزن وعند الفرح لتطرد عنك وساوس الشيطان ولا تستطيع.
The moment you mention the name of Allah, it withdraws. It withdraws. It runs away.
وقال ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال هو قال في تفسير قوله تعالى الوسواس قال هو الشيطان يأمر فإذا أطيع خمس.
Abdullah ibn Abbas interpreted this verse by saying that whispering is the order of shaitan. Shaitan orders you to do things. He orders you to do things. And as soon as you mention the name of Allah, it withdraws. It runs away in defeat. It runs away in defeat.
قوله سبحانه وتعالى الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس. الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس هنا يعني قوله تعالى من الجنة والناس يعني هل المقصود أن الموسوس في صدور الناس هو من الجنة والناس أو أن الموسوس في صدور الناس الموسوس في صدوره هم من الجنة والناس فهنا يعني تفسيران
Here we have the whisperer, which is shaitan, and the one who is being whispered to.
أن الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس يعني الذي يوسوس في صدور بني آدم من الناس هنا يمكن يكون مقصود بني آدم الذي يوسوس في صدورهم إما أن يكون من الجن وإما أن يكون من الناس لأن هناك شياطين
And the last verse in the chapter indicates that the whisperers, and in some of the interpretations, it indicates that the whisperers could be amongst the jinn and amongst the humans. So you'd find shayateen, you'd find satans from the jinn and from the humans. So there might be humans walking around us that whisper to others. Because among these people themselves there are satans, unfortunately, that whisper to others all sorts of bad deeds.
سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في معاني القرآن نفسه. هؤلاء يوسوسون في باب الاعتقاد ويدعون إلى الفرق الضالة وإلى المذاهب.
There are Satans among these people, people that invite you to the sin, people that invite you to the bid'ah, the innovation in the religion, people that invite you into all sorts of wrongdoings.
من الجن تقع من شياطين الإنس أيضا الذين يزينون للناس هذه المنكرات والوسوسين لهم. التفسير الآخر أن يعني من يوسوس في صدره هم من الجنة والناس. الشياطين
The other interpretation is that the ones who are being whispered to here are both humans and jinn, because jinn have responsibility just as humans have responsibility. Jinn are answerable just as humans are answerable, because the Prophet, peace be upon him, was sent to both humans and the jinn. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will in the day of judgment bring into account both humans and jinn. Jinn is from the progeny of Iblis. But amongst them there are believers and disbelievers, even though their father was a disbeliever. The father is Satan. And the children of Adam are all descendants of Adam, and Adam was a believer.
من الإنس والموسوس له من الإنس. ممكن موسوس من الإنس والموسوس له من الجن. ممكن موسوس من الجن والموسوس له من الإنس. الموسوس من الجن والموسوس له من الجن. يعني الصور الأربعة موجودة. الموسوس نوعان إنسي وجني. والموسوس له نوعان إنسي وجني. تضرب سنين في سنين الأنواع الأربعة كلها موجودة. أن الله تعالى قال شياطين. قال سبحانه وتعالى إيه؟
يوحي بعضهم إلى بعض.
وكذلك جعلنا لكل نبي عدوا شياطين الإنس والجن يوحي بعضهم إلى بعض زخرف القول غرورا. يوحي بعضهم إلى بعض زخرف القول.
The first scenarios here, the first one is that a human can whisper to jinn, and a human whispers to humans, and jinn can whisper to humans, as in the common case, and jinn can whisper to jinn, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And so we have appointed for every prophet enemies, shayateen among mankind and jinn, inspiring one another with adorned speech as a delusion.
طبعا كلمة شياطين الشياطين الشيطان هو العاتي أو المارد.
The word شيطان
applies
to humans and jinn.
يقال لهم شياطين الإنس والصالحون من الجن يقال لهم
The disbelievers and the bad or evil people among the humans can be called shayateen, and the evil people, and the evil jinn amongst the jinn should be called satans too, or shayateen.
فيهم يعني المؤمن وفيهم الكافر وفيهم الفاسق وفيهم المنافق والسني والبدعي ويعني كل
because the same categories that you see in front of you in front of you amongst the humans have the replicas in the jinn. So as you see sunnis amongst the humans, there are sunnis amongst the jinn. As you see shias amongst the humans, you see shias amongst the jinn. As you see those who do bid'ah amongst the humans, there are those who do bid'ah amongst the jinn, and so on and so forth. The Sheikh did not necessarily mention Shia amongst the jinn, but he mentioned jinn that do the bid'ah. Jinn that do sunnah, and jinn that do the bid'ah.
رضي الله عنه الذي رواه الإمام أحمد الذي رواه الإمام أحمد رحمه الله وابن حبان وغيره عن أبي ذر رضي الله عنه قال
Abu Dharr, may Allah be pleased with him, said that I came to the Prophet, peace be upon him, when he was in the mosque.
So
I sat. Then he said, O Abu Bakr, did you pray? He said, no. The Prophet said, stand up and pray. The Prophet was asking him about the salutation of the mosque, tahiyyat al-masjid. The salutation of the mosque. So Abu Dharr said, I stood up and I prayed twice and then I sat down. Then the Prophet said, Abu Dharr, seek refuge unto Allah from the shayateen of humans and jinn. Then Abu Dharr said, does humans have, or do humans have shayateen? The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, yes.
الصلاة قال خير موضوع الصلاة هنا استفهام يعني الصلاة يعني حدثني عن الصلاة أو أخبرني عنها فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم خير موضوع من شاء أقل ومن شاء أكثر خير موضوع يعني خير أمر
The Prophet said this is the best subject you could talk about.
خير ما أمر به الناس.
That is the best thing that people have been ordered to do.
من شاء أقل ومن شاء أكثر.
If you could,
يعني من أراد أن يزداد من الخير.
Do as much of it as you can, but if you can't, then you still can do
قال قلت يا رسول الله الصوم قال فرض مجزئ وعند الله مزيد.
Observing fasting.
وعند الله مزيد.
The Prophet peace be upon him said,
الصوم من اقتصر.
It's an obligatory act.
على الفرض يعني أجزاء.
That Allah rewards in excess for it.
زاد على الفرض فعند الله تعالى المزيد من الأجر.
If you want to do
قال قلت يا رسول الله فالصدقة قال أضعاف مضاعفة.
Then Abu Dharr said, and what about charity? The Prophet said, Allah doubles its reward. Then Abu Dharr said, which of it is the best? The Prophet said, when it comes out from someone that doesn't have a lot, from poor person.
يكون مالك قليلا ويكون عليك يعني جهد ومشقة في إخراج الصدقة ومع ذلك تؤثر بها على نفسك وتخرجها.
And if it is paid in secret to the poor.
أو سر إلى فقير وكذلك صدقة السر إلى.
So the Prophet said that the best of it is when you give it when you are poor but you're altruistic enough to give what you have to others.
أجرها أعظم من أجر الغني إذا تصدق. يعني صدقة لا يلحقه فيها يعني أي جهد أو يعني أو
The charity of the poor is better than the charity of the rich because the rich doesn't need the money but the poor needs the money so if the poor gives the money that he has he gets rewarded for it more than the poor and this charity is even better and also the Prophet peace be upon him the charity to the poor in secret
قال قلت يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أي الأنبياء كان أول قال آدم
So he said to the prophet,
أي الأنبياء كان أول
Who among the prophets was
قال
the first
قلت يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
The prophet said Adam
كان. قال نعم
Abu Dharr said was he a prophet
قال نعم
Prophet Muhammad said yes he was And Allah talked to him. Because the prophets that Allah talked to them are better than the prophets that Allah did not talk to them. Amongst those that Allah gave more privilege above the other prophets are those that Allah talked with.
صلى الله عليه وسلم كم المرسلون قال 314 جما غفيرا.
So Abu Dhar said to the Prophet, how many messengers?
جمعا غفيرا أو عددا كبيرا.
The Prophet said
314 وقال مرة 15
300 and some 310, some 310, and in another narration he said 315, a lot of them. That's what he said, 315, a lot of them.
He saw the messengers.
In another narration, he asked about the number of prophets, not the number of messengers, and we learned before the number, the difference between a prophet and a messenger. So he asked about the number of prophets. The prophet said, 124,000 of them. 124,000 of them.
قال قلت يا رسول الله أيما أنزل عليك أعظم.
So he said to the Prophet, which of the Quran is the best of what was revealed to you? Then the Prophet said, the verse of Al-Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. This hadith is narrated by Ahmad, Abu Hibban, and the Nasa'i.
إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
قال أحمد also said that a man came to the Prophet peace be upon him and said to the Prophet, O Prophet,
إني أحدث نفسي بالشيء لأن أفر من السماء أحب إلي من أن أتكلم به.
I think about wrong things, very wrong things, to the extent that I would feel it might be better for me to fall from the sky than to do these things. Shaykh says sometimes shaitan comes to you and whispers to you very, very wrong things, to the extent that he might whisper to you things that tamper with your creed, tamper with your creed, with your aqeed. That is a big problem. So yes, that what this companion said was right. It would be better for him to fall from the sky than embracing these ideas, because some of the ideas are very, very wrong.
الحمد لله الذي رد كيده إلى الوسواس. قال
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله. That made his strength as much as only whispering. That's all it can do. Only whispering. Or that made its strength limited to only whispering, limited to only whispering, or capped at whispering. That's what it does. That's all the shaitan does. The moment you say A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem, it runs away in defeat.
يستنكر هذا الذي يسمعه من الشيطان، فاستنكار قلبك لهذا الذي تسمعه من الشيطان هذا علامة على
In another hadith, the Prophet said, this is the indication of the faith. In other words, it means that when you receive shaitan and it tries to tamper with your creed and you say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajeem, it's a good indication of your faith, that you are a faithful person, because you do not submit yourself to these wrong ideas. One of the other tools of shaitan, one of the other tools of shaitan is that it tries to make you angry. And this is in the situation of sadness. If you are sad or if you have been transgressed upon by anyone, shaitan tries to make you angry. Because anger is one of the tools of shaitan, one of the avenues of shaitan, one of the arms of shaitan. Why anger is one of the arms of shaitan? Because usually you can take extreme actions under anger. You do not control yourself under anger, and you can come up with things that are not necessarily that do not necessarily represent the true you, And that is why the Prophet said, if when any one of you becomes angry, he should resort to ablution. Because shaitan is made of fire and water extinguishes fire. Don't you see, the Prophet said, don't you see that the angry person looks like he has red eyes, big cheeks, big swollen cheeks. So anger is one of the arms of shaitan. It tries to whisper to you and leaks into your head through anger. So these beautiful verses encourage us to seek refuge unto Allah. Because remember that Allah is the one who created shaitan. And that shaitan doesn't have any power over those that believe and have true belief and true faith and always seek refuge unto Allah. With this, we finish the interpretation of the whole Quran with the tafsir of Ibn Kathir. We stop here and we seek refuge unto Allah. We ask Him the benefit of what we learn.
يعني غدا وبعد غد إن شاء الله تتوقف الدروس إن شاء الله غدا وبعد غد راحة قصيرة استراحة قصيرة إن شاء الله ثم نبدأ في دروس الدورة الصيفية إن شاء الله يوم
We will take a break إن شاء الله till the end of this week and then we start on Monday on Sunday We start on Sunday the summer course which we plan إن شاء الله to extend until Ramadan which will start at the beginning of September
يعني نكمل ما تبقى من التفسير إن شاء الله الصور التي إن شاء الله يعني نرتب طريقة أخرى إن شاء الله
and إن شاء الله after Ramadan we continue our regular lectures
تفضل كيف ينتصر الإنسان على الشيطان يعني يوسوس الإنسان للجن الوسوسة بمعنى أنه يتكلم بكلام يعني
here is an interesting question actually how can humans whisper to the jinn Sheikh says some of the masters of evil can do that the imams of kufr the imams of disbelief
يمكرون بالليل ويمكرون بالنهار وكذا لهم دعاة إلى السوء لهم مكر ولهم مكايد ولهم حيل وكذا
have their own tricks
تحضر
and Satans or Shayateen devils attend their sessions and guess what devils benefit from their ideas and go to other people to give them these ideas so you know what some humans are more innovative than devils when it comes to evil to the extent that some devils take their ideas and go to other humans to use these ideas or reuse these ideas so some devils are not as innovative when it comes to evil are not as innovative as some humans to the extent that they take these ideas these innovative quote unquote innovative evil ideas from those humans and go and reuse these ideas with some other humans.
طبعا الشيطان الإنسي يعني والشيطان الجني في كيفية دفع يعني أداة بالنسبة للشيطان الجني فدفع أداة يكون بالاستعاذة منه
How do you have victory over the shayateen? We said that to have victory over shaitan, you have to seek refuge unto Allah. But to have victory over the human devil, is to take initiative and be nice and gentle to them and practice da'wah. In its most awesome form and try to be as good of an ambassador of Islam as possible
فهنا قالوا هذه الآيات فيها إيه؟ ذكر الله تعالى العدو الإنسي والعدو الجني.
So in a verse, in one verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the method of defeating the human devil and the jinn devil. The human devil, how can you have victory over him? By taking an initiative and returning the evil with good. So maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace the harm and hatred in his heart with beautifulness and love. But the way to defeat the devil from the jinn is by saying, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim." I seek refuge unto Allah from shaitan. Those who are pious, if they were touched with any whispering of shaitan, they remember the name of Allah and they rush. They rush into seeking refuge unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a very good question, actually, Sheikh says. The one method of the whispering of shaitan has to do with dreams, with dreams. Dreams are from devils and visions are from Allah. So if you see a vision in your sleep, that is from Allah. But if you see a dream, that is from shaitan, from devils. And usually devils play with your mind by showing you dreams in your sleep. The Prophet said that once he was asleep and he saw that his head was cut off and that he was running after his head. His head started running away and he was running after it. And he found out that shaitan was playing with him. How do you defeat shaitan in this battle of dreams? By what Sheikh says, by sleeping with wudu. Do wudu before you sleep. Sleep on your right side. And if you saw something that you dislike in your sleep, then right away you seek refuge unto Allah by saying, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim." And saying, "Oh Allah, I ask you to give me the best of those dreams or visions and the best of what they have, and protect me from the evil of these dreams and the evil they may have. And do not talk to anyone about these dreams. Do not talk to anyone about them or about what you saw, basically. If you saw something wrong, something that you don't like, do not talk to anyone about it." The Prophet, peace be upon him, if he saw something that he disliked in his sleep, and if he woke up scared, he would say, "I seek refuge unto the perfected words of Allah from his anger and his punishment and the evil of his slaves and from the whispers of Satan's." And from their attendance. That makes shayateen go away. She says that shaitan whispers to you in different ways, and there are some of them even that are very specialized. For example, there is one that is specialized specialized in ablution. Specialized in ablution. This guy is like a specialist in ablution, and he comes to you only when you do ablution. By all sorts of things, this water is cool, do not perfect your ablution, and so on and so forth. And there are some of them that are specialized in prayer. The name of the one that is specialized in ablution is Al-Walhan. Al-Walhan, that is its name. And if you are perfecting your wudu, he comes or it comes to you from a different avenue by telling you, you know what, you are such an extravagant with the water. You are perfecting the ablution, but in the meantime, you're extravagant. You are increasing the use of the water, and people are thirsty in the world and dying of thirst while you are wasting water. So it means you regret that you used water in your ablution. And if you do not do that, it comes to you from a different avenue, saying you have not perfected your ablution enough. And it makes you, rather than washing your arm 3 times, it makes you wash your arm 100 times or 150 times, and you still think that you have not washed your arm.
خلاص يعني إذا شككه هل غسل العضو أم لا يقول غسلته.
It makes you think that you have not washed your arm enough yet. In fact, I've known people who go back to wudu multiple times thinking that they have not perfected their wudu enough. But there is a cure in our religion, which is the jurisprudence foundation that says, or there is a jurisprudence rule that says that if you do not think that you've done something while you are doing it, then do it. But if you are done and still think that you have not done it, do not respond to the whispers of shaitan and it's as if you did it. Also that that comes to you in the prayer, and its name is Khanzab. Khanzab is the name of the devil that comes to you in the prayer, and he's a specialist in the prayer. He keeps whispering to you, you prayed 3 rak'ahs, you prayed 5 rak'ahs, you didn't really pray the prayer correctly. You know what, you lost your keys in the office, you might have lost your keys in the car, you double parked your car, you're going to be ticketed, all sort of ideas in the middle of the prayer. Some people spend 2 hours in the bathroom doing ablution to the extent that eventually abandon ablution altogether. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell us to do that, did not order us to do that. So the reason shaitan whispers to you and makes you paranoid is that it knows that towards the end you're going to eventually give up. Some people keep on saying Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, that first takbir of Ihram, they do it like 10 times, thinking that they haven't perfected it. They recite Fatiha 50 times. They become paranoid. Eventually they get sickened and they give up the prayer and the ablution. That's what shaitan eventually wants you to do. So the way you treat this or cure this is by first of all seeking knowledge and also seeking refuge unto Allah from shaitan, and by seeking knowledge and learning your religion right. It doesn't mean that sometimes you don't get paranoid. Some people get paranoid sometimes, but the problem with paranoia is when it becomes chronic. Some of us lose track of their prayers sometimes, unfortunately. This is not fortunate at all. So unfortunately, some of us lose count of how many rak'ahs they have already prayed. But if it becomes very frequent, you should know that your prayer, you have a problem with your prayer. So you should always try to concentrate. And if you lose count of the number of rak'ahs, then always think that you have perfected the prayer, or always go towards the more complete number. So if you thought that you prayed 3 rak'ahs, then go for 4. Is there anybody who can talk directly to jinn? Actually, magicians do that, as the Prophet peace be upon him said. The jinn come to either magicians, or actually not magicians, astrologists. jinn go and try to eavesdrop, on heavens and hear any of the things that are distant. And as soon as it hears something, it gets hit by an asteroid or any of the celestial objects. It gets hit by an asteroid, but it would have already heard something incomplete. So it goes to those astrologists and tells them something that is incomplete. The Prophet, peace be upon him, says that the jinn that is dropping whispers to their masters from the ins. Whispers to the humans in their ears, just as the chicken, like the sound of the chicken. So they eavesdrop something incomplete from the angels, and they come to the people that seek their help and whisper to their ears, just like the sound of the chicken, some of the incomplete information that they heard in heaven. They ask them in return to do something for them, like to slaughter or to sacrifice animals and their names in the name of the jinn. And this is, of course, shirk. So yes, talking or communication between ins and jinn might happen. Brother says that some Muslims claim that they seek help from Muslim jinn. So Sheikh says the question might be better reformatted by saying, can we seek permissible help from the jinn? Like, for example, you seek help sometimes from your brother to carry something that you cannot carry, to help you carrying something that you cannot carry. In that case, you're not doing something that would lead you to shirk.
يطلب من الجنية شيئا يعني هو في مقدور الجني أو كذا مثل توصيل شيء أو حمل شيء أو شيء من هذه الأمور.
So can you ask a jinn to help you over something that is permissible? In fact, the majority of the scholars prevent that, and they say that this is a gate of evil. Because usually the human friend sometimes turn against you. So you never know if the jinn friend might turn against you or not. He might become your enemy. And if he became your enemy, this is not going to be fun. If that jinn became your enemy, this is not going to be fun. In fact, he might end up eventually being someone that he didn't know. Rather than thinking that he's a Muslim, he might turn out to be a non-Muslim, and he might bring you into shirk by asking you to do idolation or shirky kind of behavior, like slaughtering animals for the sake of dead people or sacrificing for the sake of jinn and stuff like that. So you should always shut that door. But Sheikh says that sometimes Muslim jinn help Muslim humans without any return. Like what happened to Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah.
كان عادته ان هو ايه يخرج الى قاع طريق السفر يعني بين
بلدين. شيخ الإسلام أحمد بن تيمية
كان هذا الطريق يعني يمر عليه
used
يعني to وكان يمر عليه بعض الأثرار كالطرق يعني كان يمرون على هذا
used a certain route for his traveling between two cities
من التتار ومن الطرق ومن كذا كان يحتاجون إلى يعني من يدعوهم إلى الإسلام ويعلمهم الدين وكذا فكان تيمية رحمه الله كان هو من عادته يعني هو نفسه كان يخرج يعني إلى
and that route used to have people delegations of trade traveling between cities carrying goods and commodities and Sheikh Sam Ibn Taymiyyah used to go through that route specifically to invite these people to Islam to invite these people to Islam So when he got imprisoned, when he got imprisoned, many of the same people that were using that route for traveling started telling that they met with Ahmed ibn Taymiyyah when he was imprisoned. And the story became very common. And many witnesses came telling the same story that they met with Ahmed ibn Taymiyyah in the same route between these two cities even though he was imprisoned at that time so some people said that these might be angels that might be an angel that is saying that this is Ibn
Taymiyyah
but Ahmed Ibn Taymiyyah said this cannot be an angel because angels do not lie it might be a jinn that was a Muslim and didn't want this habit to be cut because it was done for the sake of Allah so he started telling them that he is Ibn Taymiyyah and started inviting them to Islam too because he was a Muslim jinn but that cannot be an angel as Sheikh Islam Ahmed Ibn Taymiyyah said he cannot be an angel because angels do not lie so here this jinn offered help without seeking return so you shouldn't ask him for any return even if he can give you return because that could open for you the gates of lots of things that you don't want
هل هم إخوة يعني في الإيمان؟ الجواب نعم يعني إنما المؤمنون إخوة.
Are we brothers and sisters in Islam with the jinn? She says yes.
لكن ليس معنى هذا أن الإسلام يطلب يعني.
It doesn't mean that we ask them to be our brothers and sisters and try to become friendly with them. No. They have their own way of life and we have our own way of life. So. We shouldn't try to seek their sisterhood or their brotherhood, but we are brothers and sisters in Islam. We quote enough for tonight.